Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the feverish Fadero.
He's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
They come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 244. I'm here, as always, with the feverish Fanero. I've heard it's officially 2022.
Yeah, it feels like it. League year has turned over.
Free agency has begun. We've got a few landing spots for some of the top free agents. See if there's any vacancies left for those rookies coming in from the 2022 class. Our 2021s have become rewinds.
Yes, they have. You got to do it at some point.
You do.
Yeah.
I feel like we're kind of there. So we'll probably still have a few rewind episodes moving in. But we're going to be, you're going to hear more and more from the 2022 class as well as the Rookie Fever player profiles. Most currently, Britt Sanders with the Feverish Fanero. Deep diving.
Yeah. That one's feeling combine results in. He did not do well. It's feeling a lot like last year's deep dive. So we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully he gets drafted. If he gets drafted, that's better than last year. So, but who doesn't like a good rookie deep dive?
Yeah, it's all about knowing when to let go. Sometimes yeah. Too. Like,
have you let go of CJ Maribel? I have.
I mean, yeah. If I've noticed that I still have him in a spot, I've sure dropped him. I'm starting to get to the point. Like, what do you do with somebody like Dyami Brown?
Yeah.
Is he worth holding on to? I know it's like roster dependent in how many spots you have. You're not just going to drop him to make a vacancy, but some of those guys too, I wish I would have moved on from a little bit earlier.
Yeah, there was a time to do so. It's tough though. That's tough for me. I'm guilty of that to the nth degree. I think you're pretty skilled at it yourself. I hold on, man. I hold on and I want to be right. We all want to be right. It's like, well, I drafted this guy or I traded for this guy. I need my return. And then you hold on to him and it gets worse.
Yeah, it can get worse. And that's one of the things you run into with some of these guys. And I mean, even like, I can't help but continue to wonder, like, have I held on to Davis Mills too long? What's really going to happen if a trade happens with Deshaun Watson? I mean, there's a scenario where there could be a quarterback involved that the Texans may not be able to say no to, whether or not they like Davis Mills. And then you have a real honest quarterback competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. And they have a 3 overall pick. Are we thinking too much of Davis Mills?
I would worry for some of the reasons you just mentioned, but not the pick. I wouldn't worry about that. They seem pretty, pretty dedicated to seeing what he can do next year. And they're so far away from anything, and this is not the quarterback class to dip in. So I think the one circumstance that you brought up, though, if they get a quarterback back in one of these trades, because I'm hearing that we're back to 3 first-round picks, dude, plus players. Like, we're back to that. I know when the Russell Wilson thing went down, the thought was, well, who's going to give 3 up for Watson? and that seems to be the opening bid and players. I think Cleveland's deal kind of leaked out and it included, it was 3 firsts, a second, Kareem Hunt, and then like some player on defense is actually pretty decent too. So, I mean, this is craziness, but yeah, a quarterback back to Houston, that would scare me a little bit if I'm a Mills owner.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even if it's – and it's rumored that Baker wouldn't go in that deal. But even if it's Baker Mayfield, you have to think Baker Mayfield wins that job pretty easy.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's not a favorite. I have a lot of Baker Mayfield concerns. But you have to think that he wins that job pretty handedly.
Yep.
I have to get your feeling on this, though. I haven't been able to talk to you as much as I like throughout the week. I'm curious, somebody we've talked about on this show since he was a rookie, since he had his second year breakout, DJ Shark signs with Detroit. How do you feel about Amon-Ra St. Brown, my boy? Like, what do you think is going to happen there? We're seeing a lot of buzz. You and I did talk a little bit about that target share and what we perceivably think could happen. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're still going to draft a rookie? You were kind of hesitant to believe that in the first place because you thought they would take care of other positions and
keep Monroe
St. Brown. Yeah.
In the first year, yeah. And signed I still Josh feel Reynolds. That way. Yep. But there's two, yeah. So Josh Reynolds and Khalif Raymond. We signed both of them.
Yep.
So you have status quo there. And this the DJ Chark question, to come back to that.
I threw a lot at you.
They're two totally different players. It's kind of like when LaVisca joined the Jaguars and Chark owners were all nervous. I'm like, no, they're two totally different players. Like, LaVisca doesn't do what Chark does. Chark doesn't do what LaVisca does. It's the same exact thing here. All that happened is Detroit got a little better. I think DJ Chark is a nice cheap add-on. It's a one-year deal. So this is what I'm looking at. I'm looking at two retreads, right? Khalif Raymond, just a guy. Josh Reynolds, he's signed a two-year deal, which is really a one-year deal, right? Chark, another one-year deal. So I'll answer the other question. Yes, these moves actually confirm to me that they are going to use early draft capital. Not round one still. I'm still convinced it'll be round two. But I'm now convinced with these particular signings and the duration of these signings that they're going to actually pick a wide receiver early in the second or third round. I think. Do you guys have 2 seconds?
I believe so. And we have two first rounders too. The pick 32 and then the two. But
I don't think either of those are going to be a wide receiver. But that early second, I think will be. Or would be nice to see. Maybe the later.
We thought that last year too. But I agree. I think heard they're still going to add a wide receiver, and I think that
I really
that's
think so
okay.
Now. I really think so now. Now, if they had given Chark, Allen Robinson, you're going to the right part where I'm going. Like Allen Robinson, Juju, Chark, any of these guys a 3 or 4 year deal, then I think they're not going early.
Everything could be a prove-it deal, though. That he's still young enough to where if he has a good season, he could get an extension in the season.
Easy.
Still at 25 years
like
old.
That. I think,
and
they
I agree
would like
with
that.
You. Put him on the outside. Keep him on Ross St. Brown in the slot, like he was so successful in last year. I love that.
Yep.
But you mentioned Laviska Shenault, and boy, is he getting some shade.
Yeah,
because the Christian Kirk signing.
Yep.
I mean, I would argue that a healthy Shark isn't much different, if not better, than Christian Kirk.
I kind of think so, but
and
I
people
think
were
Kirk's
still
a
kind of
little
in
more
on Laviska Shenault, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's not crazy to think that Laviska could still have a role in this offense, or maybe even they're going to use him a little bit more out of the backfield.
Yeah, rumors are he's moving on, though. I think they're looking to move from him.
Trading him? Cutting him?
Yeah, trade. I think it was a trade. I think they're trying to, you know, it's not going to be much. Fifth or sixth round pick or something like that. But, yeah, I think they're ready to turn the page on Laviska. I mean, he hasn't done much. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
He hasn't. PFF put up a stat. He was, like, the second highest wide receiver in missed tackles.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
Nice.
So I do wonder if he's in the right situation, get him in the ball in the right spots, or get him in that Shanahan offense.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree, man. I'm so happy about the Laviska Shenault shares that I already moved.
Yeah, I bet. I never dipped into that. Well, I was never a Laviska guy. Didn't draft
Are you excited
him,
about Christian
for
Kirk
him.
For and what
I
the Jags
know.
Did? Evan Engram.
Yeah, so I do. What the Jags are doing is kind of special, and we did chat about this a tiny bit. You just started off with Trevor Lawrence, and I think it was 3 exclamation points with nothing after that. So you got Christian Kirk, and then Evan Engram, which I really like. I really, really like that signing for them.
I do too, and dude. I think that people are underestimating that, Finero.
Why did Zay Jones get 24 mil, though? That was strange to me. They signed Zay Jones.
Do
they,
pretty
they
good.
Paid him pretty good
in a couple games for the Raiders. I could see him being their Christian Kirk, similar to the Cardinals. and Christian Kirk has to become DeAndre Hopkins, which he is not. But you still have to think that Christian Kirk's floor in that offense, if he's going to be the number one and they're not going to do anything else. You have to think he's a wide receiver too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
sure. But Evan Ingram's a nice add. And then what Evan Ingram can't do, which is protect the quarterback or block in any way, they signed big name Brandon Scherff to a 3-year, $50 million deal to solidify that O-line. They franchise tagged one of their offensive tackles, and then they also re-signed another offensive lineman. So they're really – this is the thing that I want to see Chicago do for Fields, and they just can't, right? They don't have the draft picks or the money, where the Jaguars had both. They have the draft picks, and we'll probably get into the Jets, which I think are in a very similar circumstance where they could really help Zach Wilson out.
Yeah, and I agree with you on Ingram, and we're so, like, not even rookie-ish. We're not even, like, rewinding it hardly, but – if you liked, I enjoyed watching Dan Arnold and what he did with mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence last mm-hmm. year, mm-hmm. but Dan Arnold is not Evan Ingram to me still. No. And I think right. that he wasn't quite utilized well with the Giants. I know he gets crapped on for his drops. He had some concerns, but give me Evan Ingram over Dan Arnold all day long. And we saw what Dan Arnold did with Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Even James O'Shaughnessy looked good for the games that he had with Trevor before he got hurt. So, yeah, I mean, we have a new coaching staff and such, so that concerns me. Like, is the tight end going to be featured as much? But I think the proof is that they signed Evan Ingram, one of the top tight ends in this class. That tells you, yeah, we're probably going to use the tight end. Especially one that's not known for blocking. I mean, he's basically a slot receiver, so...
Finero, we need another show so we can get some of this stuff off of our chests. But I had another thought with CJ Uzuma being gone from the Bengals, and everybody's now looking to what tight end is going to go to the Bengals. What's going to happen here? And they're the next one that need a tight end. But it may be. But what if, hear me out, mm-hmm. Drew Sample's their tight end and he's going to block. He's their blocking tight end. They drafted him in the second round.
They like him as a blocker.
Go by Tyler Boyd. That's what I'm saying. They don't need a pass-catching tight end. They need somebody mm-hmm. that can catch some passes. But they've got Tyler Boyd.
So you're saying, I hear you. So they already have their tight end in their third wide receiver is what you're saying.
They've got,
they'll be just fine.
Yep, and I'm not saying he's going to play that role.
No, I know, but you're just...
They've got a nice slot receiver that could be utilized a little bit more, and I have to think that they'll feel more comfortable throwing the ball to Tyler Boyd in designed plays than they would Uzuma, and then they'll still have a tight end they can, you know, a scapegoat. But I'm saying, man, and I'm not saying Tyler Boyd is T. Higgins. I'm not saying he's Jamar Chase, but he's going to be the cheap one. He's an afterthought right now. Go get you some Tyler Boyd in the slot from Joe Burrow. If you want a cheap piece of that offense, a little stack, I'm thinking Tyler Boyd, man. Don't wait to see what's going to happen and people to figure out that they might not sign a tight end.
I like that a lot, dude.
The pass-catching tight end. Go get Tyler Boyd.
Boyd is an afterthought is a very good description for his value right now. A complete afterthought.
And he it's not like he's done bad, even with those two mentioned on the field.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. He's a good player.
Yeah.
He's legit good. That's why I really like
Burrow has some freaking weapons, man.
Yeah, well, I know.
So, but what teams still, like, are we looking at to maybe draft? Like, does Malik Willis now – what a crazy freaking week. Is he going to Seattle with the Russell Wilson trade and everything going on?
I've heard that a ton in Seattle.
Does he make it to that pick?
Yeah, I think he could. Yeah, absolutely. What is that? Let's still single digits, I think, Seattle.
Nine,
yeah. So, I think he could go there. He might be the first quarterback off the board at nine. Yeah, no, I think that's a sweet spot. It's, as we see these other teams, you know, there's more quote-unquote quarterbacks out there. I mean, shit, Garoppolo's getting more attention than you'd ever think. There's three teams involved with him. I know the Colts are up there. Like, there's still
I've heard that he could be a backup for Cleveland.
Who's that?
A backup plan, excuse me.
If they don't
get Watson.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah, because the Baker thing seems to... That's kind of shots fired with that tweet where he's basically saying goodbye without saying goodbye. So I feel like he felt misrespected. I don't know. I don't want to put words in the guy's mouth, but it definitely seems like there's some tension there. It doesn't mean it can't be fixed either. I've been hearing some reports that it's a little overblown. The whole, he's gone. like, if it doesn't matter whether they get Watson or not, Baker Mayfield's gone. He's still under contract. I think, I don't know. That one's crazy. But to go back to your original, yeah, Malik Willis to Seattle is the only way Seattle, like, has a freaking quarter. Seattle's a mess, man. Like, that team looks bad all of a sudden when you take Russell Wilson. I mean, bad.
And Drew Lockett onto DK and Tyler Lockett.
I just traded for DK at the end of last year. This is my only DK share.
That's okay.
Yeah, he's also very young.
You don't want to let it go. You might even be able to get attached to a couple other shares if you wanted to try.
That's a good point.
He's young. He's a huge body. I mean, he has a career in front of him.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not afraid to. I don't want to sell DK cheap.
So you talked about CJ Uzama leaving the Bengals, and he goes over there along with just 30 minutes ago, Tyler Conklin.
Yeah.
So Tyler Conklin and CJ Uzama over there with Zach Wilson. Both have been successful in the NFL, sometimes and usually in spurts, but I like the combo and the devotion to that. I think both of them also helped the run game for sure. I think there's proof of that too. CJ Uzama, I think the Bengals liked him a ton. And part of that was the run blocking. That was, I heard like an NFL analyst say that they think that Joe Burrow would be sacked a ton more if CJ Uzama wasn't on the team.
Really?
Yeah, like he's a big reason in their eyes that he was protected as well as he was protected. And we all know that O-line needed help, and that's what tight ends do. And I see these tight ends helping Zach Wilson out a little bit with these offensive linemen. They re-signed Connor McDermott. They signed a 3-year, $40 million deal with Laken Tomlinson. So they're giving him an O-line swags in free agency. They're giving him tight ends, which can be protection targets and run blocking with additional targets. And then we know that they still have more money to spend and a whole lot of those
draft picks we mentioned when we,
four top 40 picks they have.
Yep. So, and we mentioned that a few episodes ago or on our weekly show, just how much money they had, how many picks they had, and what they can do to start putting stuff around Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Really, like, you could maybe go and get Zach Wilson still, like, relatively easy before they continue to add and all the pieces get put together. So go play some chess while everybody's playing checkers. I think that you and I have both been sort of trying to add Zach Wilson here and there, though.
Yeah. No, Zach Wilson, luckily, not because I liked him, not going to even claim it, but because of where he was falling, I got him, got him in drafts. So I do have an investment in Zach Wilson, so I would be happy to see him take a jump in year two. Year one was definitely disappointing, I'm not going to lie. But I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
And then the Bengals signing two offensive linemen. 3-year deal, 4-year deal. This is exactly what the Bengals need to be doing for Burrow, as we've been talking about Cincinnati. It's going to help Chase even more. Maybe your boy Tyler Boyd.
There you go.
But I love the sneaky offensive lineman pickups by the Bengals in this offseason. It's exactly what they need. They went out of their way to draft Chase last year and let Detroit take the number one offensive lineman in the draft. And here they are, after going to the Super Bowl, fortifying that offensive line with money to spend and draft picks, looking real good too.
Yeah. So, Finero.
Yeah.
I have to ask you about a trade I made.
Uh-oh.
I traded away. You ready for all this?
Ready.
I traded away Terry McLaurin and a 105. And what I got back was a 101 and Allen Robinson and Jamar Jefferson. How are you feeling about that?
Pretty good. Very good. Yeah, I got zero problems with that. He's getting the younger wide receiver.
Yep.
But Allen Robinson is not done playing. That's for damn sure.
I agree.
So that's nice. I'm not going to count your third for much, Jamar Jefferson. So we're gonna leave him out of this deal. But the 101 is nice, dude.
And
the
101. That was a 105, Finero. Probably doesn't make – I gave him a 105.
That's what I have down. I wrote down 105. Yep, you gave him a 105 and you got the 101 in return, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
good. And I've got Justin Jefferson on this team, Amon-Ra St. Brown,
woo,
DK Metcalf, I have DJ Shark, I'm looking pretty good, you know. So yeah, and now man. Allen Robinson.
I love it. Yeah. No, I like that. Yeah, it's the 101 is a great ad because, you know, depending on your team, you know, you're probably going Breece Hall there, mm-hmm. I'm guessing. But, you know, if you were a quarterback needy team, you get any of those quarterbacks you want, get the top wide receiver in this class in your rankings. Like 105, you're not getting that.
I'm probably taking Breece Hall, quite honestly, unless something happens with the quarterbacks. And this team, I actually could use a quarterback, so we'll see. If Malik Willis ends up in Seattle, I could see myself having to turn that way for this particular mm-hmm. draft. I wanted to allude to our new partnership that we have. Because Dynasty Nerds GM had this trade coming back pretty freaking even, Finero, quite honestly.
Really?
And at the time, I wasn't even able to use this amazing tool. Because I made this sometime last week, but I'm checking it out now even, and yeah, pretty even trade both sides. It gave me no value for Jamar Jefferson. I do have Swift on this team. I've talked about that with you and Dave earlier shows about how I feel like he might be the guy to own if you want a backup for Swift as the careers go on, but we'll see. So, but yeah, just a throw in to that mm-hmm. trade. And
yeah,
we got the 101 moved up, and I'm either going to take the number one running back in the draft or the number one quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, no, that's great, dude. Yeah, that's a nice trade. I like it.
Tell them about Dynasty Nerds.
Yeah, so this is a pretty cool.
This is a good spot to just let Swags take a break, save these people some money.
Yeah, so they reached out to us and said, hey, you know, we like what you guys are doing. We would love to be a part of it. What do you guys think about promoting DynastyNerds.com and the tools?
And Finero was like, holy shit, we love what you're doing, and we'd love to be a part of it.
Yeah, which is great. And I had mentioned the Dynasty Nerds film room in a couple of podcasts, and if you guys don't know about that, you have to check it out. For me, the best part about it is easy digestion. So, like, I can watch a whole game of Kenneth Walker playing X team in 4 to 6 minutes. Every play in 4 to 6 minutes. So, you know, in my show prep, I've been doing it recently. It's a great little spot to get some of your own gut feelings on players. I know that I had mentioned my gut feeling about Christian Watson on one of our episodes, and that came from the Dynasty Nerds film room. But that's just one tool they have, right? So you mentioned the GM tool. This is amazing. You can import all of your leagues from MFL, Sleeper, Flea Flicker, FFPC. And if you have another platform, it's not one of those, you can manually put it in. But once you do that, you are like empowered at this point. Like I learned, unfortunately, and I'm pretty sure Swags, you're not going to be like grossly surprised by this, but it gives you your ownership across all the leagues. So my highest owned player is Mr. Jarrett Patterson at 63%. But I guess, dude, seriously, what I get out of this once you dive into all the tools, it's kind of like streaming, right? Most of us stream now. We cut the cord. We have all these streaming services. About 3 weeks ago, I told you, Swags, I saved $50 by looking closer at all those services. And mm-hmm. I got more for $50 less when I look closer at it. If you look at DynastyNerds.com and you look at maybe the other things that you're paying for.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all here Thank in you. One site. It's right here in everything that you're probably buying on multiple sites that, oh, well, it's only $4 here. Or, oh, it's only $5 here.
$10 All you here, have to $15 do. Yeah. there, $30
Add it
there.
Up. Yeah, do some accounting. I guarantee that if you go to DynastyNurse.com, you're going to get the tools that you've been paying for and a whole lot more on one website where you just pay one bill out and you don't have it coming off of three different cards, and you're still only getting a fraction of what you really want, which is all on this site. And just to make it a little sweeter because of our affiliation, you can save 15% off any of the plans they offer various plans. Any mm-hmm. of the plans that they offer,
I was going to say that you can kind of customize your experience, and you can look in there and be like, maybe this tool's not for me right now.
Exactly,
but you can do a three day trial of any of the tools that they offer to see if you might want to stick with it. But there, several plans to kind of build your own experience within the Dynasty Nerds website.
If you do a 3-day trial, it's going to be like when you go to the pet store and say, oh, can you bring the puppy out of the cage and let me pet it? It's coming home with you.
Yeah.
You do the 3-day trial.
That's just it.
It's coming
home. Do the 3-day trial when you have some time, because
I agree.
You just get in there and you're like, wow, this is awesome. Now let's do this. This is awesome. Tell them how to save some money, dynastynerds.com.
Yep.
Because honestly, guys, like, I believe in this, man. Like, I'm really excited about this relationship.
Yeah, we don't do stuff like this. Yeah, and I'm sure most of our listeners is like, what the heck just happened? Why are they, you know, why are they giving me a commercial? Like, this is not a commercial. We believe in dynastynerds.com. They have a great freaking site. I've been a member for more than a couple of years. Yeah, next year. Yeah, exactly. Next week it probably will. But the way, to answer your earlier question, Swags, the way you save the 15%, we kept it simple. You don't even need to type in Rookie Fever. There's too many letters. Just Fever. That's all you need to type in. Just Fever, and you get 15% on any of the plans that are there. Check it out. I think that 3-day trial is a great idea, Swags. Try that.
I mean, and there's as cheap as $5 a month even, right? And you can get right in and start building your teams right away. Great tool. Be sure to check out dynastynerds.com. Honestly, we'll mention it more. If you have any questions for either of us, or forget the simple word that you need, Fever saves you 15% like that. Finero, I want to go back to the Commanders because you mentioned Patterson. McKissick re-signed. I have mentioned, and I think you kind of smiled at the idea, but maybe them drafting a running back in the third round had McKissick gone away. Do you feel like maybe they still jump into that running back pool at all, or do you think this is it?
Honestly, like, this stuff always surprises me. So we're doing status quo again, right? All three backs that were there last year, they're here again. If you told me, do I think last year they could have used another back? I would probably say yes. I would say yes because Jarrett Patterson didn't offer much. I'm not saying that he can't, you know, get better next season, but he didn't really offer much. The depth piece was definitely 10 for 11.
10 for 11.
There you go. There was that.
Only dropped one pass.
There was that. So I could see them. I've been saying this for a while. I'll repeat it. There is a tier of running backs that are pretty deep. It's a tier three group. It's not a tier one or a tier two. It's a tier three group, but it's deep. Like, there's a lot of names there. There's like pretty much anybody you ask, like running back 6 to 18, like they're all about the same. That's a big list and a huge number. That's a lot of running backs. So could one of those join? Absolutely. I absolutely could see that. JD McKissick, I don't think the contract was probably over 2 years, so that's a temporary thing anyway. And Jarrett Patterson, you know, he's got a pretty uphill battle to try to steal carries, I think, away from Gibson. So
I don't think he'd be stealing carries away from Gibson. I think that had McKissick gone away, though, he could have played some of that role.
That would have been nice.
And then the flip side of it, too, is you see a lot of Gibson talking, everybody getting excited, because Gibson's done well in that role with his opportunities the last couple seasons.
Absolutely.
But if you're not starting to get concerned, because every time somebody brings up the injuries, everybody's like, yes, but he played through them. Yes, but he played through them. Mm. That was pretty good for your fantasy team last year, but it didn't get Washington anywhere. And it's not good for the longevity of your running back to continually play through injuries, honestly. And I know it was good for your fantasy team. This is just being completely honest. We want these guys resting sometimes through their injuries. If he had, I think that your argument would be stronger for not needing another running back there to just take a little bit of pressure off. I'm not saying Gibson going away. You know, I get that what Gibson's done. This is not me throwing shade, but I don't think it's amazing that he played through all the injuries. Like, it says a lot for the player. I love it for the player. But for the longevity, like, man, sometimes I want somebody in there, even if he's going to play through it, I need somebody in there taking a little bit off that load when we know he's hurt.
Yeah, that's why I think you're right. I think third and fourth round could be a target for the Commanders.
Yeah. Like, I don't see Gibson tearing it up in the league at 27, 28 years old like Leonard Fournette is. he didn't play through his injuries. And we hated it. We wanted him to. But he didn't. And now we get Leonard Fournette reincarnated.
Yeah, we do.
So, I don't know, man. There's that dark side of me, Fornaro, that you know is there. And I do want Washington to draft a running back.
We'll see. We'll see. It might happen. What do you think about Mitchell Trubisky over there in Pittsburgh? Do you think... Two questions for you. It's a two-year deal, very incentive-laden. Without the incentives, it's basically backup quarter money, backup quarterback money at 14 mil. Do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers draft one of those quarterbacks in this year's draft, even though they just signed Mitchell Trubisky? Because most of these quarterbacks have their flaws or developmental. Like, you could see Trubisky being a bridge to a young quarterback that maybe Pittsburgh has their mind on. And I'm curious if the Trubisky signing, in your mind, prohibits the Steelers from drafting one of those four or five quarterbacks we've been talking about.
I think that – I personally think that if Pittsburgh is going to draft a quarterback that's not Malik Willis, and they'd have to move up to do that.
Yes, they would.
I think the only one that they will be after, depending on where quarterbacks fall, is Pickett. And it's because of the relationship that he has with Pittsburgh. He's played there. They've seen him more. I think that if they're not comfortable with him, that they'll see what Mitch Trubisky has, and Mitch could still be the bridge to next year in the 2023 class. But I think Mitch Trubisky's been given the short end of a stick that a lot of people don't want to admit to. Like, if you look at what Mitch did in Chicago, it wasn't as bad as Chicago. Honestly, like, Mitch had a winning record in Chicago. Somebody said on Twitter the other day, like, why in the heck would anybody be interested in Mitchell Trubisky? And I said, well, he does have a winning record in one of the worst situations that we've seen. And then he went away and they didn't have a winning record. I don't think that Mitch Trubisky is the next coming of Matthew Stafford or anything like that. But I think that he's a serviceable quarterback and he deserves a shot with a better organization and not Matt Nagy and three other offensive coordinators throughout his short stint in Chicago. It's not like that situation was ever ideal, and we all knew it.
And people forget too, Swags, that Mitchell Trubisky came into the NFL with 13 starts under his belt in college. That was it.
Yeah.
People forget that. They wanted him to just be like it.
Yeah,
because everyone, and I think this is the other reason he gets the short on the stick. Everybody knows who they passed up.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing, Fornaro. You know,
and that's just a lot to live up to. And it doesn't, and you're right.
It's not just how he's done, it's who they could have had. It's all part of the joke.
I think that's kind of reflective in this contract even, dude. Like, it's like Pittsburgh sees these same things, like maybe he got the short end of the stick. You know, he was kind of, he could have been viewed as a developmental quarterback being thrown into the system too soon. I don't like Nagy. Like, I can make this kid good.
Yeah.
And that's where the $27 million comes in, and hedging their bets by saying, well, yeah, but you're going to have to earn it because I'm not convinced I'm right. So I'm going to give you $14 million, which isn't bad. Like, you know, and you're going to come to a franchise like with a great history. One fantastic history with weapons. Like, why don't you come here? We'll let Najee Harris take some of the load off. We'll get two offensive linemen in free agency and shore up that offensive line for you, Mitch. And if you show up, we'll show up with you. We'll double your salary.
Yeah. And outside of football IQ, how much worse is any quarterback really than Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, I agree.
At the stage of the career he was at.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I like Mitch. I have a few shares. I should probably move on from them, quite honestly.
Yeah,
that's what the me a year or so wishes. Well, you want to give me like thirds and stuff. So
all right, I'll give you two thirds and a fourth.
Revisit that, but yeah, it's an interesting one, man. Mitch Trubisky throw into Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool,
maybe Juju.
Pat Freiermuth.
Oh, love it.
You think Juju stays?
I'm hearing the rumblings. Yes, he's not getting the attention that people thought he was going to get out in free agency. And Pittsburgh does want him back. I heard a beat reporter just today say that Juju means a lot to this team and that Chase Claypool really scares him. Chase Claypool doesn't seem to have his head on straight. He just doesn't seem to be focused enough.
Yeah.
When Chase Claypool was asked, you know, how Juju Smith-Schuster helps his game, he said he helped my brand on TikTok. Like, that's where this kid's head's at, you know.
Wow.
And I don't know, man. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers like need Juju to stay, and I think Juju's not again saying getting the attention that maybe he wants out there. So maybe he returns. That'd be good for Mitch.
Yeah. And you started seeing some of those issues with Chase Claypool on the field last year.
Yeah, he did.
And then for him to continually not care and now be a concern, like, yeah, that's an interesting one.
Which is weird, too, Swags. Like, we talk about this in fantasy football all the time. You have the analytics people looking at numbers and saying, well, they'll defend me. And then you have the film guy saying, well, I'm looking at tape, and that's why I'm backing my guy. And they're all wrong, right? We're all wrong. All of our takes are wrong. And they're right. There is a mix of both. And I think that's where I was with Chase Claypool. I'm looking at his situation with Juju leaving again. I'm looking at, okay, now he might have an improved quarterback because Ben can't sling it and Chase Claypool needs it slung. So I'm like, I don't know. I think maybe I'm in on Chase Claypool because I think people are off of him. And, you know, it's that intangible that none of us look at in analytics. None of us look at on film. And none of us really look at in fantasy. And it's what's between the ears.
What's how they are the years, and what does your workplace have to deal with for you to be around?
Yes, you got it.
Quite honestly.
Yep.
Because that's a real part of it. You know, you don't want
that. It's a huge part of it.
Huh. I've moved away from all of my Chase Claypool, actually, and quite happy about it.
Yeah, but
Jarvis Landry cut. Donovan Peoples-Jones, is he going to remain the number two wide receiver for Cleveland? Also, Austin Hooper's cut. So
yeah, I saw that.
Harrison Bryant, David Njoku, if you can go out and get them on the ease, I don't mind that.
Cleveland, I don't know, man. Cleveland is also getting to be like really close to that finish line for Watson. Like, I mean, people are saying this is going down in the next 24 hours. So if Cleveland's really going to get Watson, I don't know if people Jones interest me a little bit now.
I'm gonna say Falcons.
Yeah, are you?
Yep.
The biggest thing with the Falcons is they just restructured Matt Ryan, and the money it's going to be really tough to unload Matt Ryan and pay Deshaun Watson. That seems to be like a major sticky point. I think they're involved, honestly, to say if the Saints get him, we're going to at least drive up the price. You know what I mean? They're so closely related, like or they're going in like we got to go in, like we love the guy, we got to go in, and we're not going to get him, but we got to try. But they're not my favorite. They're not my favorite. I thought Seattle was going to come in because they were the hot. Daniel Jeremiah was saying it was basically a foregone conclusion if he cleared those legal issues, and now Seattle's not even in the group of four. Carolina comes up over and over again.
I don't think you get rid of Russell Wilson just to go to Deshaun Watson. I mean, if you've got Russell Wilson and you want to go to Watson, you just stick with Russell Wilson.
That's a good point.
Unless there was more behind the scenes and Russell wanted more out than we know, but I don't
know. What's Seattle's plan?
Malik Willis.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's their plan. And if it doesn't happen, I mean, it might be too late.
Do you like Malik Willis more on Seattle or less?
I like Malik Willis in Seattle.
Okay.
I would like that landing spot with that strong organization. I think it's I don't think that they – and I'm just starting to, like, dive in and get more and more into, like, the 2022 class. You know how we do.
Yep.
But I think that Malik Willis could walk into that offense and they won't have to change it too much. I think that he could – I'm not comping him, but I think that with his arm talent, his speed, I think that they won't have to change what they're doing there too much to run with Malik Willis.
I just keep going back. They'll have to
dumb it down a little for a rookie.
Yeah. But. Well, not only that, I mean, I just keep going back to my rookie profile with Mark Schofield, and this is like the worst case scenario we had for Malik Willis is to go to a team like Seattle who has to start him. He wants Malik Willis not to play his first year. He really badly wants him to not play his first year. If that's Seattle's plan, to draft what Mark Schofield considers a developmental quarterback. Well, I mean, actually,
the crazy you know thing what? Is Russell Wilson wasn't even supposed to start his rookie year.
I remember that.
Matt Campbell or something? Or
it was one of the New England quarterbacks. It was one of those New England quarterbacks that floated around.
Yeah. And then he ended up beating him out.
Easily.
So you never know.
Early in training camp. Yep.
So I kind of wouldn't mind that spot. If today in my head, the teams that I feel like are in the situation to draft him, that's the one I would be most interested in.
Sure. Yeah. It's
completely
good.
It's
good organization. Sure.
Even if he went to the Panthers, I'm not as excited.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree.
If he goes to Detroit, I'm not as excited.
I totally agree. Yeah, these are really good points. Yeah, out of the landing spots that you mentioned, he is cited to go to those. He's mm-hmm. So there's a wide range. Sometimes he's all the way up there in the first, and sometimes he's all the way down at the bottom. But Malik Willis's name comes up a lot on a lot of different teams, and I agree with you with the names you just gave me. They're the most frequent ones, and Seattle's clearly the better landing spot of those.
Yeah. I feel like in all of this free agency process, one person that has gotten I want to say shade, maybe just not mentioned enough, is Michael Pittman.
Mm.
And I know he has no quarterback now, so that's an interesting spot too for maybe a quarterback if they need to draft one. Mm-hmm. But Michael Pittman had a really decent season last year, still young, had a great season with Wentz. I know in fantasy outscored guys like Terry McLaurin that get talked about a lot more. Quite a few other wide receivers, and I'm not hearing anything about Pittman.
Yeah,
he's Yeah,
he had the I wish there was somebody that could do this for me, because I would love to do it, but I don't have the time. How fantasy gamers value two different things. The end of the season, like if a player like really goes berserk at the end of a season, because it's usually their fantasy playoffs, blah, 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 blah. Or even playoffs, where we're all watching games again and not the red zone. I wonder how much value spike happens in the last 5 to 6 weeks of the season and the playoffs. Because I feel like these players get so much attention. I bring this up because Michael Pittman had one hell of a first half of a season. Like, people were talking about mm-hmm. Michael Pittman. And then he kind of leveled out to, maybe that was just a couple good matchups. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have some time to digest that early part. I wonder if it was flipped and Michael Pittman had a fantastic 6 to 8 last games, whether we would talk about Michael Pittman more. I want somebody to do that work for me, because I'm convinced that those periods of time increase player value.
Feverish has other stuff to do. Well, this has been at Artmark TV and at Swagzilla Zero G. Totally off the cuff, no plans, just spitballing it. A lot of fun tonight.
Yeah.
I have a final thought.
Nice.
And here it is.
Is it a promo code?
Well, definitely check out that promo code. Hopefully you enjoyed us just like sitting down and talking. We'll go into some more of this next week too. My final thought is this: 2022, right now, starting right now, this is your year to rebuild your dynasty teams, not 2023.
Here's why.
Too many people want to rebuild in 2023. Too many people are waiting. I'm not only saying this is your year to rebuild. I'm saying you retool, you go for it all. Like, every time somebody's trying to get their 2023 pick a little later and they start tanking, wanting to get rid of their players, Amari Cooper, you know, the guys that are too old that are like 26 turning 27, 27 turning 28, those ripe ages at your wide receivers. This is your year to rebuild. Don't worry about value, that little value game. Hop on dynastynerds.com, put in code Fever, get in the Dynasty GM, see how they really feel like some smart Dynasty people in our space. See how they feel about your trades. Those moves, they'll come right up, but really look to win some money this year. You can't just, your 12 people are going to win in every league in 2023? We're all still competing in 2023. I don't care how you rebuild. You got to come through me. 2022, right now, start rebuilding while everybody's just trying to get those 2023 picks.
That's awesome advice.
He is at Artfog TV. I'm at SugZilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever. And we are out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you long on a treat you ride. Rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 stallion? He's never done this to before. And run, I told you anyone. Size and speed, just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's his breakout age for Rookie Fever stage? Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now we get a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's beat the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.